Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Monday morning, everyone. Welcome on in. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. But I am none of those three people, if you can't already tell. And neither is he.
Neither am I. Am I talking to you through the monitor, or am I allowed to look over my right shoulder like I'm parallel?
Yeah, I think you can look this way. I hope so, at least, or it's going to be a long 4 hours. I am Shea Cornett. He's Bart Scott filling in for the guys today. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Before we get to what happened over the weekend, because it was a big sports weekend, if you don't already know. Bart, hi, good morning. Nice to work with you.
Always a pleasure.
Nice to be here, up bright and early. Are you a coffee drinker? I see you've got two cups over there. Are you, like, sneak tea in them?
I got that LT in there. No, I'm just playing. I got coffee and tea.
Coffee and tea. Double dipping on a Monday morning. Okay, NBA Finals over the weekend. Bucks taking a 3-2 series lead.
Yeah.
So if you're one of the old schoolers, you know, you say the series really started on Saturday. Now that one team has a series lead. So Bucks have a one-game lead over the Suns. An exciting game start to finish. But the biggest thing for me was the Bucks overcoming a 16-point deficit, right? And then obviously the alley-oop that sealed the deal.
Yes.
Between Drew Holiday and Giannis Antetokounmpo. There's a lot of different ways we can go with this. By the way, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. But first, why don't we hear from the two head coaches, shall we? Let's start with Mike Budenholzer saying how this team, especially overcoming a 16-point deficit, being in the hole 0-2, doesn't matter. They have overcome adversity time and time again. Here's Coach Bud. Take a listen.
I certainly feel like, you know, what we've been through this playoffs, every team, you know, that it advances, you feel like you're better because of the competition you just went through and what we've been through the last couple, 2-3 years. It's prepared us to be in this moment and play and execute both ends of the court. So I think it's just part of our journey, and we still got a ways to go.
Yeah, he's right. They do still have a ways to go.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest thing, obviously, was now we finally saw a team win one on the road, right?
Right.
So the Bucks steal one in Phoenix. Going to be hard for the Suns to come to the Deer District and do the same.
And it's going to be extremely difficult. You know, momentum is really on the side of the Bucks, winning three in a row. And they've done it with their defense. And, you know, credit to Budenholzer because he received a lot of criticism about his inability to make adjustments. You know, he's made the adjustment. You know, you look at Giannis at the top of the key, pick and roll, you know, roll him to the basket, putting Phoenix on their heels and making them have to react. And, you know, Chris Paul, right? I mean, to me, this is the Chris Paul series, right? Because everybody that loves Chris Paul and everything that he's done for this league and what he's meant to this league, this is his best opportunity. And if he blows this one, the narrative is going to change. It's going to be he's the guy that couldn't win the big one. And he's going to have to carry that scarlet letter that, you know, all the greats that have never won one, you know, has to. And it's not like he's going through like the Michael Jordans or he's going through the LeBron Jameses or the Steph Currys. This is a series where his team should be the favorite, and now he's choking it away. And I tell you what, man, I love a good car crash, and I see a car crash coming.
See, now that's hating. That's like hating.
I hate my gums because they're black. I always hate.
I mean, come on. Hey,
I'm buck nasty. Hate.
CP3 like this early on a Monday. Like, I am not here for it. Okay, now one game in the hole.
Tell me
this
why.
This guy has had a decade plus of experience in the NBA. And, like, for them to be in this scenario in a very closely contested final series, like, let's not throw the hate at
CP3.
He has to be better. But, I mean, come on.
Hey, man, he better discount, double check, or go call State Farm and get something, man. Because, listen, it's slipping away. And he sees it, right?
It is.
Listen, look at the narrative, right? 5-2 in series, or 5-4, something like that, in series in which he had a 2-0 lead. And, like, listen, you can see because you see that look in his eyes? That's that look in your eyes when you, like, when everybody look up, like, man, who mama is that at the door at school? And you cutting up, and the dude start writing his homework down, start doing, that's his mama. Listen, he looks like he's in trouble. And he, listen, there's nothing he can do about it because the momentum and the force that is Giannis. For all the haters out there, and I'm one of them because I think that he, you know, his lack of, being able to shoot, you know, the 18-foot jumper. You want to see your superstars come up clutch in the moments. He's doing it in a different way because you look at him missing the free throw and then still having the wherewithal to tap it up, you know, understanding that he has to be better in those moments. But listen, we're watching him evolve a little bit and move from being a guy who just needs the ball in his hand, showing us, you know, his athleticism, to somebody who's starting to facilitate and be able to get assists, understanding how they're playing him and understanding that he can't just beat him by running through everybody, right? Remember, Giannis was the guy that used to always try and jump the fence. Now you see him starting to understand the game and understand how he's been defended and understand where the holes in the opposing team's defense is, and he's evolving before our eyes. And if somebody's going to be the hero, somebody has to be the villain. And right now, Chris Paul is the villain.
Ugh, I hate this narrative. This is why I like this series, because I feel like there's so much to root for. Like, there's CP3, there's Giannis Antetokounmpo, two good guys who are very well-respected in the league. And so you coming out here throwing Chris Paul.
Well, well-respected. I don't know.
When
we think about Giannis, man, I don't know if he gets the love that he deserves.
Yeah, I know we'll get more into that later. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I hear you. Here's what I'll say about the Phoenix Suns. They have two veterans on this team, Crowder and Chris Paul, and both of them need to be better. Crowder, on paper, not a terrible game, but still needs to do better. CP3 had a double-double with 21 points and 11 assists. He finally fixed the turnover problem, but bad defense for the Suns, yet again a problem. And then Crowder, 10 points and 5 boards, his lowest production in the last three games. If you're going to be the two veterans on a squad who haven't been to the finals in, I mean, how long?
Crowder was there last year, I believe, right? Crowder was there last year,
But you need these two guys.
Right, exactly.
Booker needs help. I mean, he can't do it all. 40-point games, back-to-back games, like, that's all great, but you lost. You're losing. Like, you need help. The narrative has changed. I feel like in the beginning of this series, we were talking about Giannis and how Giannis needs his surrounding parts to step up. Like, where is Chris Middleton? Where is Jrue Holiday?
Yeah.
Why aren't Connaughton's shots dropping? And now it's reversed to the Suns. It's like, Booker needs help. Where are you guys? Like, can you step up and can you do something? Speaking of needing help, let's hear from the head coach of the Phoenix Suns, Monty Williams. I mean, he says it's just one more game. They got to get a victory, got to get them back on a plane. Take a listen to Monty.
We got to win one game to put them back on the plane. That's it. And you have to have that determination that you're willing to do whatever it takes to put them back on the plane. We can call it what we want to, mental toughness, all of that stuff. But it's going to be needed, and our guys are capable of doing it. This is our first time in this position, and we can do it.
So the Bucks, I almost said the Nets because that's where I'm going. The Bucks have overcome a lot of adversity in this series, and you just heard it from Monty himself.
Right.
The Suns, not so much.
Right.
They haven't been in this situation
cruise
before.
Cruise control.
Right. They've been in cruise control, and it's come relatively easy to them.
Right.
You got rid of the LeBron James. You got rid of the Damian Lillard on the West. Now you're expected to win this series. And so they haven't had the opportunity to kind of overcome being in big holes, being down 0-2.
They got no scar tissue.
Exactly. So they're not calloused.
Exactly. They got no scar tissue because it's been smooth sailing, and now they've finally run into their former adversity. Whenever I had to deal with adversity, whether it was a season or in the playoffs, I wanted to deal with it early so guys can know how to step up and understand. And like now they're trying to figure it out at the height of the most pressure packed situation in the playoffs, and that's to win a championship. And it used to be the fact that you had to suffer before you win and break through. And if they win this year, they didn't have any suffering.
Not even a lot.
Right? So now you look at what Giannis has had to deal with, never getting out of the second round of the playoffs. All that matters when it comes to this time as far as being able to have that slow heartbeat and be able to calm down and understand how to be calm in the eye of the storm. And Giannis, look, a player that wasn't even supposed to be in the series. We had concerns that he wasn't even going to be available. He went and got that. He went to Wakanda, got that vibranium, and here you go. He's putting on a show. And it's not pretty. It's not traditional. It's not like KD. You know, watch how beautiful his artistry is, his skill set. You know, it's just pure force.
Yeah, it is. And now the pressure's on both of these teams. It's on the Bucks, obviously, to close it out, win a chip. It's on the Suns to win one on the road and push the series.
Who said this was going to be a dull series in two whack markets? Who said that? That was me.
Oh, I was like, wait, it wasn't me. I know that. CP3, echoing kind of what Bart just said it wouldn't be easy. Here's CP3. Take a listen.
You know, we knew this wasn't going to be easy. We didn't expect it to be. And I mean, it's hard. You know, coach said it all year long. You know, everything we want is on the other side of hard, and it don't get no harder than this. You know, so we got to regroup, learn from this game, but it's over. You know, we got to get ready for game 6.
Just speaking it into existence.
They say all the right things. He said all the right things, but I knew he was set up for failure when I saw that jean jacket he wore, you know, coming through the tunnel.
I liked that.
Was a loser's jacket. I don't know who made that, man. Like he was on in Car Wash 3 or something.
I need to drink more coffee. I'm not prepared to come back at you yet. I will. I'll get there eventually. I just need maybe one more hour. I'm not really sure. There's CP3's numbers. 21 points. He was 9 of 15, shooting over 60%. Actually, all starters on both teams shot over 50%. So to me, this says this is a defensive problem more than anything, especially for the Suns. Nonetheless, though, Bucks lead the series by 1, and they get to bring it home and try and close it out at home. We'll have lots of NBA Finals talk, obviously, to get to, but it's about time to expire in Portland, perhaps for Dame Dalla. I don't know.
That's next.
That's next. But first, it's time for Straight Talk with Bart.
And it's time for some straight talk. We've all been there. You have some real work to do, but no free Wi-Fi where you're working isn't going to cut it. It's like leaving the winning run on third base. Well, now you can go and get your own hotspot with Straight Talk Ultimate Unlimited Plan. Get 10 gigs of hotspot data for just $55 a month, all on America's largest, most dependable network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Capability devices required. See StraightTalk.com for more. Action. Oh, my God. I just chopped that up.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Michael is in Queens. Michael, what's up, man?
And as far as Key goes and the diva, Key, you're so diva, it's more like Kiva should be your new name.
More from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
DJ this early in the morning does hit, though. Hey, I'll give it to him.
This is not DJ Killigrew. This should be on a workout list.
It should be. This is on a workout list. It's hard for me to hit the Killer. Gym, though, after I get up this early. It's like, it's over at this point. It's a wrap. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Shea Cornett. He's Bart Scott, filling in for the guys this morning. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Okay, so Giannis and the Bucks obviously being in the finals, being up 3-2 in this series, and all the offseason things that came along with Giannis is interesting, right? Like, he stays in Milwaukee, stays true to where he was. They give up Bledsoe. They give up two picks. They bring in his guy, Drew Holiday. Obviously, they keep Chris Middleton, so surround him with some pieces that he needs, right? Yeah. But he stays in what we would call a smaller market in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And so now this kind of opens the door for other players, Damian Lillard, and what he might do during this offseason. There's been conflicting reports. Has he requested a trade? Has he not? Well, we know, and what everyone can agree on at this point, he wants a chip, okay? Yeah. And he made that pretty clear when he spoke during a press conference. Take a listen to Damian Lillard and where he is on what he wants.
I woke up to those reports. You know, a lot of people reaching out to me. But it's not true. You know, I'll start off the rip and say it's not true. I said the last time I spoke to you guys that a lot of things are being said, and, you know, it hasn't come from me. So, number one, it's not true. And secondly, I'll also say that I haven't made any firm decision on, you know, what my future will be. So, there's really no need for anybody else to speak for me or report this or report that. You know, if there's something to be said, as I said the last time, I'll speak directly with my team and with Neil. So, you know, that's that.
Okay. So I believe Dame when he speaks. Like, look, whatever you're going to hear is going to come straight from my mouth. I'm not someone who speaks through sources. If I got a problem, I'm going to address it. And I think he's made it very clear what his message to management is. He needs help. Everyone needs help in the NBA. Yeah. Kevin Durant can't do it alone. LeBron James can't do it alone. Anthony Davis can't do it alone. Go on down the list. He needs help if he's going to stay in Portland. But to me, I believe what he's saying and the fact that he actually wants to stay there if they're willing to help build around him. I mean, this is a team that's made the playoffs for 8 consecutive seasons, but they've been eliminated in the first round for the last 5 years. They keep getting bounced early. Like, what gives for Dame Dalla?
Yeah, I mean, everybody makes the playoffs if you're a semi-decent team with two stars,
yeah,
right?
The
problem is that his Robin is C.J. McCollum, and we don't know if that's enough, right? And
we know it's not.
Right, and then you look up in Nurkic. I mean, how dare he? I don't know. They got to do some things differently. Man, you're the guy who haven't been available. You're a guy who got worked by Jokic. You haven't been that third starter they need to be successful. And the problem is the West is only going to continue to get stronger and stronger.
True.
And as good as Dame Dalla is, it's an equal star on the other side with a lot less miles. And the miles are starting to add up. And he's at a point in his career he has to make a decision. Does he want to be seen as a guy that was loyal and a guy that tried to do it in one spot? Or does he want to say, hey, listen, I gave this organization everything that I had for 8 years. I played at a high level. It's time for me to take my talent somewhere. And I said on this show maybe 2-3 months ago that the best place and the best storyline for him to go back and not look like he's just chasing a chip is to go back home. And going back home is going to Golden State because they have the best package that they can offer Portland. Can you imagine those type of shooters like pulling up from the logo? You got to start picking up, full court defense if you have Dame Dalla, Clay, and you know that the Golden State is an organization that's not afraid and has had been able to manage three superstars.
Correct. But I hear you with the going home thing, but he's ring chasing then. I mean, then there's no other narrative besides he's ring chasing then.
But it's also going and playing. He's giving this organization everything that they – what can they do?
Who
can they bring in, right? When you talk about Giannis and them going out to get Holiday, that was via trade. What do they have to offer to bring in a third star?
You're going to have to get rid of McCollum. Like, you're going to have to.
Right.
That's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to trade
but
McCollum.
But who wants McCollum? He's a little bit – he's older than Dame.
I don't know. You're going to have to trade McCollum, or you're going to have to give up draft picks. Like, that's just what it's going to have to be. And then you're going to hope to bring in a few shooters, perhaps, and maybe someone that can lock down defensively. I don't know. Maybe like an Andre Iguodala, someone along those lines.
Man, that dude old as Moses?
He is.
Andre Iguodala.
I'm just saying, like, add to the roster in terms of defensive production and then hopefully bring in some shooters. But Dame needs help, and McCollum's – can't be his Robin.
Listen, I got on. He has to understand that, you don't have to worry. If he seems like he's not a guy that really cares what other people think. And I think him going home is a great story. And I think that'll offer something there. I mean, look at what everybody else in the West is becoming. We know that next year when Jamal Murray comes back, that team is – everybody has three stars in tremendous depth. He has none of that. And he's in a small market, and we need to see him. Remember the years we were saying that, he needs to go to a bigger market, and we weren't even being able to see him play? Like, he needs to go somewhere where he's appreciated. And I think him going home is the best story and the best chance to win.
I don't disagree with you. I like that story. I think he would do well at the Warriors. Yes, it's a great opportunity for him to win. But if he's loyal to the city where he is, this small market stuff, the one thing with Portland is the time. Like, it's more not being visible for a lot of games because of the West Coast swing.
Yeah.
And Warriors and Lakers dominate those primetime spots on the West Coast, or Clippers, whatever it is. So that's more the thing. The small market thing, and especially now with the Giannis story in Milwaukee, like, I'm over that narrative in the NBA. Like, LeBron did it in Cleveland. Like who cares about the size of the market?
And why did he go back to Cleveland?
Because I was home. But that is very different than joining a Warriors squad who has the Splash Brothers. It's very different.
I mean, but wherever he goes and he adds his talent to it, it's going to become a super team because he's just that talented. So it doesn't matter. Where can he go where it's not seem like he's ring chasing if he decides to leave? But the problem is Portland's not a welcoming destination where people want to go. Right? I mean, Carmelo was out of the league and he didn't want to go there. So how are they going to get somebody else to come there?
Let's not use Melo as the bar. I mean, he played in New York forever.
Yeah, but he decided not to come, right? And they had to beg him. And he finally ran out of options. He said, you know what? I'll come.
All right. Let's hear from Brian Windhorst here, ESPN NBA insider. He says that Lillard wants to stay and the Blazers could go all in. Take a listen.
He's watched as this team has gone to the playoffs 8 straight years, but never seriously threatened the title. They've gotten knocked out of the first round in 4 of the last 5 years. Meanwhile, he's sitting there looking at a team like Milwaukee that just pushed in all of their chips to trade for Jrue Holiday and P.J. Tucker, and look where they are. He's looking at the Suns, who just traded for Chris Paul. Look where they are. Last year's champ, the Lakers, all their chips in for Anthony Davis. Look where they are. What Dame wants, he turned 31 years old yesterday. He's feeling his mortality. He wants the Blazers to push in all of their chips, and he wants it to be done now. And if it doesn't happen, what he's basically saying between the lines is, I'm not sure I'm going to be here.
Is it between the lines? I think that's pretty clear cut, isn't it?
I mean, he said he hasn't made a firm decision, and he'll let him know. It looks to me, or seems to me, like Dame is a guy that's going to talk to the organization. He's not going to negotiate through the media. I think that the wheels are turning, that he's, you know, trying to hold him accountable, saying, hey, I need help. Chauncey Billups is a start. But, you know, Chauncey is an unknown commodity. We don't know what type of coach Chauncey is going to be. Yeah. You know, his growing pains and things of that sort. By the time Chauncey figures it out, can potentially, you know, he can be 32 years, 33 years old. And then you really have to push the emergency button and start ring chasing.
Yeah, it's true. All right, coming up next, once a man, twice a baby. I don't really fully understand.
Oh, that's my quote, baby.
But maybe Bart can explain it to me next. But first, Bart, sing us a tune from O'Reilly Auto
Parts,
please.
Let's sing that too. Have a car problem but don't know where to go? Maybe you're not close to home when your car breaks down. Let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. With O'Reilly Auto Parts shop referral program, take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you or visit O'ReillyAuto.com and click find a repair shop to find a reputable repair facility or service center for more repairs. Back after this.
I just don't think Big Ben should be in a game where he is being asked to throw the ball 35, 40 times a game. If that's going to be the case, he's done.
What I think is a special football team that everyone's overlooking, which is kind of cool too.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin here on the road to camp. It is Monday. It is the start of the week, and training camp officially begins this week. Feels kind of like the unofficial start to football season, maybe for me. Not so much, Bart. I don't know. Shea Cornett, Bart Scott filling in for Key, J, and Z this morning. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. So I mentioned it, training camps do start this week.
Yes, yes.
Steelers and Cowboys are going to get underway because they're in the Hall of Fame game, so traditionally, usually those two teams begin training camp early. So before we dive into all that, though, I said in the tease, what does once a man, twice a baby mean? And we were referencing Big Ben Roethlisberger because The Steelers are in a situation now where they have an aging quarterback, I'm putting that gently, one that was on the decline towards the end of last season. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of question marks, was he going to retire? Is he going to return to the Steelers? What's going to happen? But I like that phrase, once a man, twice a baby, because Bart over here explained it to me in the break. And so how does this apply to Big Ben Roethlisberger?
Well, you know, once a man, twice a baby means, when you come in this league, you're a baby, right? You don't know anything. He inherited a veteran team. He got, you know, it was a injury to the starting quarterback. I forgot his name at the time. He came in, won 15 games straight. The team carried him to the Super Bowl. He had to hold the steering wheel, just not mess it up. Then that you lose the assets as you become a man, and you have to be the reason why you win, and you have to carry a football team. And Big Ben did that, right? He won another Super Bowl. But at this point, we've all seen this in the NFL, where you have that aging veteran quarterback that has one last run in him, and that's where Big Ben is. Remember, this was a team last year that was 11-0, right? Had one of the best defenses, but they became one-dimensional, and they depended too much on Ben Roethlisberger. Now they don't have to depend on Ben Roethlisberger because they don't have to be one-dimensional. When they bring in Najee Harris, he's going to create balance for that team. And I don't want to hear anything about, oh, he lost Pouncey, he lost these players. When you think about great organizations like the Steelers, and listen, I've witnessed this firsthand because I was in that division for such a long time. Every time they lose a great player, they replace him with a player that we don't know about, right? So I don't know who they have in a pipeline, but I'm sure it's somebody. And for everybody that says, says, Bart, we need some receipts. Think about just the outside linebacker position. Remember it was Kevin Green and Jason Gilden, right? And it's like, oh, man, these are two Hall of Fame caliber type of outside linebackers. How are they ever going to replace them? And they just replaced them with Joey Porter and Lamar Whitley. And it's like, oh, Lamar Whitley, these are guys great. Then they let Peasy go. Peasy went to Miami, went to get his bread. He wanted some more vitamin D out there in the sunshine. And I'm like, how are you going to replace him? And they replaced him with James Harrison. Right? And he came in and became an all-pro. And then, James Harrison, Lamar Whitley leaves. Then now what do they do? Okay? T.J. Watt, Bud Dupree. Right? And so when you have these type of organizations, they're able to just reload because they always have somebody in the pipeline because it's a program. When you walk into that building, you learn what being a Steeler is all about. And, you know, we've seen, like, quarterbacks late in their career. We saw Peyton Manning, right? We saw John Elway become guys that were just holding on to the steering wheel as TD or that defense carried them to the promised land. And I think that's where the Steelers are. So that's what once a man, twice a baby is.
I love it. I like that analogy. The only thing I'll say about the reloading aspect for the Steelers, this year's a little different. Mm-hmm. They've been in salary cap hell, for lack of a better term.
Yes.
They can't go out and just get who they want to get to plug and play like they have been in years past. And so this year, while yes, I agree with you, and obviously if anyone knows how to just utilize the steering wheel, it would be a veteran like Big Ben Roethlisberger, who's familiar with the organization, the head coach, et cetera, et cetera. But it's a different kind of year this year because they haven't been able to just, we lose Pouncey, let's go replace him with the next guy up. You know, like, they can't do that.
See, we don't know who that guy is, though.
Right.
Because this is a team that has a true farm system. They build from within. Like, the Steelers never really bring in high-priced free agents. Like, name the last big free agent, right? Remember, Antonio Brown's here. They just continue to replace him. I remember when it was Santonio Holmes. And before Santonio Holmes, it was Plaxico Burress, right? So, I can go position for position, right? I remember when it was Alan Faneca. Alan Faneca left, and then this guy from Hofstra named Willie Colon came in, and he became like a staple for him, right? And then they drafted DeCastro. This is a team that doesn't go out and spend heavily in free agency. They spend their money within. Like, Micah Fitzpatrick was one of the big splashes that they brought in. So, they're still going to have a tremendous defense, a strong running game, and Big Ben is still going to be able to facilitate and be able to use his football acumen to be able to push him. And I know this whole thing, Cleveland's the sexy pick, but, you know, we had this thing when I was within that division, Cleveland going Cleveland, and we don't even pay attention to the Bungles.
Okay. I have to react to that first. Cleveland's going to Cleveland. That narrative changed a little bit now. I feel like they did do some things in the postseason. The Ravens are still good. I mean, the Bengals are going to be better. I mean, come on. This is not just far and away the Steelers division anymore.
It's not. I'm not saying that, but I think we bury the Steelers and we talk more about the Ravens and Cleveland because they look good on paper. It's about, listen, you can have all the good ingredients, but if you don't have the right balance, it don't mean that the meal going to be good, right? And I think that when you think about it, I think – the Steelers love being the underdog. They still may have the best defense in that division, right? So if you have that, now you have a way to win the game because they can limit the possessions by having a strong running game. And you know that Ben knows how to utilize those weapons on the outside, right? Claypool is a young star. He's going to be arguably a top 10 receiver this year. And the kid Washington is a beast too. So Ben is going to be able to facilitate like he did now, but now he's going to do it with a loaded box. And when he sees that, he's going to be able to make the checks. I think we underestimate Ben's greatness because he does it like Giannis in a different way, right? He's always, you know, had his greatness by looking down the barrel of the gun and being able to deliver the ball. And as he's gotten older, he has children, he's married, he's starting to see the end, he's starting to see the finish line. And maybe he's not willing to take the hits like he took early in his career, but that's why he gets the ball out of his hands so fast. But now he's not going to have to, because now you're going to get favorable matchups because of the running game.
Okay, but how do you know that running game's going to be so good? Last year, that running game struggled, especially down the stretch.
Yes.
James Conner's situation is up in the air. Obviously, you have Benny Snell on the roster, but I can't put all my confidence in a Steelers run game that I haven't seen. What have you done for me lately?
Well, what translates the best or the quickest in the league is usually a running back, right? And Najee Harris is a guy that came from a pro-style offense. He played at a high level. He's a guy that's physical, that can run behind his pads. I don't worry about who's blocking for him because he's going to be able to get favorable matchups, because first going in and defending the Steelers, I'm saying, listen, Ben's going to get the ball out of his hand. Last year, the short passing game was the extension of the run game, but now you have a real guy that can run behind his pads. He's going to get a light box, and Ben's going to be able to take advantage of it. Ben is one of the smartest football players that I've ever played against, right? And listen, that's saying a lot because I played against some of the greats. But he doesn't get the respect that he deserves, right? He's a two-time Super Bowl champion, and he's a guy that's put up 4,000, 5,000 yards with multiple offensive coordinators. I think they're slipping on him. So I'm telling you, I know he's a baby, but this baby again, got a lot of support behind him.
Baby again. Last thing I'm going to say, there's an added game to the schedule this year in the NFL.
Yes.
For one game, and you could speak to this better than obviously I could ever, but an added game to a schedule with an older guy like Big Ben. We saw last year, obviously, the Steelers, if anyone, had issues with the bye week and moving around, not having rest, Thanksgiving. We know all about it. But now you have an added game to the schedule. Hopefully you keep your bye in place. But yet still, is that going to pose a problem for this now baby Big Ben Roethlisberger? Like, even last year, he had to sit the last game of the season. He admitted being tired towards down the stretch. Like, it's going to be even worse this year.
Well, I think if you play behind a running game, he doesn't have the attempts, then he's not wearing that shoulder out because he's not throwing the ball. It's easy to turn around, just hand the ball over and say, young fella, you know, we're going to put it on your shoulders. Carry us there, right? And what they have to worry about is not using Najee Harris too early because you want him to peak at the right time. So you want to create balance. And you don't want to give him a lot. You don't want to give him 30, 40 carries early in the season because he's going to be doing something that he's never done before. The entire league is going to be doing something they've ever done before. You know, in college, the season is much shorter, you know, and is different than playing in the league. So I think they have to put that guy on a pitch count early and then release him late, like we did with Sean Green, right? Remember, we had LT Sean Green. We started off with LT early in the season, and then we let that young bull go in the playoffs, and he took us all the way to the AFC Championship.
Yeah, don't give it away all early. All right, let's change gears. Cam Newton said last Thursday right here on KJZ, by the way, Bart Scott, Shea Cornett filling in for Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. He said last week right on this show that essentially it's time for the Patriots to meet expectations. Let's hear from Cam Newton on what he said.
It's not even about, you know, testing or doing certain things. It's just knowing it's a standard, right? And, you know, for me, you know, the Patriots organization has been, you know, impeccable, you know, with the – also with the addition of, you know, Patricia, you know, he's been great as well. You know, just so my time has been there has just been, you know, everything I could have asked for. You know, is I guess it's now, you know, time for me to uphold my end of the bargain through and through and, you know, doing everything that I know I'm capable of doing and staying all in my wheelhouse. So I think that's what it comes down to, you know, as far as the expectations from, you know, what I've expected from Bill and, you know, Josh and those guys, they've been excellent, and you know, we're just going to keep pushing forward.
All right, so essentially it's put up or shut up time for the New England Patriots. Cam Newton knows all about this. He's got Mac Jones basically breathing down his throat. Last year, him having a second chance in this organization to me is rare, right? Yeah. It's a gift, essentially, for Cam Newton, although I think well-deserved. Last year, he comes in, COVID year, gets COVID, new system, coming off injuries, hasn't been fully himself, and he was having a decent season. But all in all, the Patriots finished last year 7-9. They were only 3-3 in the AFC East, not something Bill Belichick's accustomed to. He goes out and signs all these free agents. Now Cam Newton has another year under the system. And so you would think that the Patriots are going to be better this year. And again, there's a backup breathing down his neck. So there's a little added pressure to Cam Newton.
Brian Hoyer?
No, not Brian Hoyer.
Okay.
That would be Mac Jones. And so this poses the question, considering it is the week that training camp is going to start for two teams and the Cowboys and the Steelers. But who else in this league outside Cam Newton and the Patriots, is it time to put up or shut up, Bart?
Well, I think it's I got to go right down to New Orleans, right? Because Jameis Winston is fighting for his career as a starter, right? He went there, he took a gap year in New Orleans to go down there to learn and sit. And now the hardest thing to do is to replace a legend when the standards is high. You know, you think about Cam Newton, that he's experiencing that as well. So I think, you know, Jameis Winston definitely is one who has to put up or shut up. And then you look at Carson Wentz, right? Everybody made an excuse. I made excuses for him, right? This was an old roster, a team that went all in. They got their championship and, you know, they became an old roster that made a lot of transition. But, you know, Carson Wentz is definitely a guy that's going to have to show that he can lead. You know, it should work out, but you never know. I'm never surprised in this league, but, you know, going back with Frank Wright, a great offensive line, a team that's ready to win, they should win that division. You know, you look at, I mean, you know, Jimmy G. I didn't even think about Jimmy G until we were just talking, right? This is a guy that definitely isn't going to be there. He's been in trade rumors. He's fighting for his career and the future of his career as well. And I can scan around peruse around the league, it's a couple guys that maybe I could be forgetting. But, you know, definitely, you know, Matthew Stafford. Like, I'm the guy that's made all the excuses for Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford has been part of the worst organization in the – not just football, in the history of sports. You think about the greatness that the Lions have just let – just melt away. Calvin Johnson, first time, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer. Barry Sanders, right? And you think about the great players that they just couldn't, you know, overcome playing for that organization. It's been mismanaged for years. So now Matthew Stafford has an opportunity. He has no excuses. He has a great coach with a great mind should be able to take advantage of his skill set. He has a number one defense, and he's going to have something that he hasn't only had, I believe, only 11 times in his career. And, you know, only 11 times in his career has he had a 100-yard rusher in a game. Like, in a game, right? So, you know, it was all on his shoulders. And, listen, he had to battle with injuries. You know, so, you know, Matthew Stafford is a guy. And, listen, I'm standing here, and sometimes a tree falls in the woods and nobody's around, they don't hear it. I'm telling you, my favorite for not only the Super Bowl and the unseed Tom Brady, but the MVP is Matthew Stafford.
Okay. I like that. Bold statement, but not that bold. I like that.
Yeah, it was bold when I said it, like, as soon as he got there.
Why?
Because, like...
Because he's never done it in the postseason?
No, because I've been around great players. I tell people all the time, I'm like an expert in bad quarterbacks. Like, I played with some of the worst quarterbacks. I think me and Tony Gonzalez probably had the greatest list of, not bad quarterbacks, I'm talking about horrible quarterbacks. Like, what are you doing? And when I look at Matthew Stafford, I think he's going to... He's accustomed to having to do it the hard way.
Yeah.
And he's going to be able to get the ball back. He's going to get the ball on short fields because of that great defense. He's going to have guys that's open that he's not going to have to throw open. He's going to have balance, a run game. And I think, you know, we talk about a guy that's thrown for 5,000 yards when throwing for 5,000 yards wasn't a popular thing. Now, of course, you should be able to throw for 1,000 yards if you're not handing the ball off. But he's a guy I think that is a great player that we don't know about. We talk about Dame Lillard wasting his talents up in Portland. Well, Matthew Stafford was wasting his greatness in Detroit.
Okay. So back to the put up or shut up thing, and coming off of Cam Newton saying it's time to put up or shut up for him in New England this year. You mentioned Jameis Winston. That one I'll agree with. Jameis Winston can go out and he can ball out this year, and then he can prove that he belongs and he should stay the starting quarterback in New Orleans. Correct. Right. Always hard to follow up a legend, but nonetheless, he's learned under a legend. He supposedly has had LASIK surgery, so he's not going to turn the ball over so much. And so being under Sean Payton's system now for yet another year, and I think probably having his ego suppressed a little bit,
yeah,
considering you had Taysom Hill starting in front of you and all the rest that had been going on last year. And so Jameis Winston, I'll agree with. Jimmy G was my initial pick. My initial thought when this was brought up to me, I thought, okay, it's definitely Jimmy Garoppolo. Another situation where you've got a quarterback breathing down his throat with Trey Lance there. I mean, he has been asked time and time again, once by me, myself,
yeah,
you know, how do you deal with a rookie quarterback coming in and everyone in the league wondering if you're going to leave? I mean, you're two seasons removed from a Super Bowl, this guy. Yet still, the narrative with Jimmy G is he's not enough for the San Francisco 49ers. They're in a really, really hard division there in the NFC West, one that now does have Matthew Stafford. And so he needs to go out and prove that he can be a mainstay, not only a starting quarterback, I think, for the 49ers, but one that can be in this league for a long time.
Right.
Because let's just be clear. If Jimmy G goes out and has, let's just say, 10 – let's say he doesn't make it the whole season. I know he's injury prone. I don't want to wish injuries, but I'm just saying, even if he plays 10 solid good games
– right.
And he wants to leave the 49ers and they want to make Trey Lance the guy there. Wouldn't we be having the same conversation? Oh, should he go play for the Patriots? Should he go play here? I mean, I'm a Chicago girl, born and raised, Bears fan till the end. And like this offseason, I was like, I wouldn't mind if Jimmy G was the quarterback in Chicago, obviously before they drafted Justin Fields. So Jimmy G's the first one that comes to mind. Matthew Stafford, Carson Wentz. Yeah, but like first year in a new system, I feel like you always get an excuse.
Nah, you don't. Not when your team's ready to win a Super Bowl. Right, you're supposed to be the finishing piece. They're bringing you in. They got rid of a quarterback that took them to the Super Bowl because they felt like he wasn't enough, right? Because they felt like, hey, man, McVay had to do all the thinking for him, stay in his ear 15 seconds before the play and do all the thinking for him. Now, you know, McVay saying, you've heard McVay and how he's going about Matthew Stafford. Mm-hmm. Now he can just coach and he can just call the play knowing that Matthew Stafford can get him in the right play because of his football acumen. So it's a lot of pressure for him because this is a team that went to the second round of the playoffs, right? So this is a guy that's expected to be the finishing piece.
Well, yeah, and for Matthew Stafford, there's pressure on himself too, right? Like, How many times has it been said, yes, he's broken every record in a Detroit Lions uniform, but he's never actually taken him anywhere. Like, he has nothing to show for it.
Exactly.
So now is his chance to have something to show for it. The last one, and you put this person on your list, and I got to just debunk it. Andy Dalton, you had on your list, and you wrote sort of. But I'm going to disagree with you right there, because this is not a put up or shut up year for Andy Dalton, not even in the least, because he could go out and ball through six games and they could throw in Justin Fields. And yet still, Andy Dalton probably will not be a starting quarterback anywhere else in the league ever. I mean, but
we know it's over. We know that Ryan Fitzpatrick is a starting quarterback in this league.
Yeah, but
so
Ryan,
if he has one more life, Andy Dalton's a guy that's taken the Bengals and won. I think he won the division before, but he took them to the playoffs like 5 years in a row.
They never won a playoff game.
But he never won one. Listen, he need a lifetime achievement award to take the Bengals. You talk about a horrible organization. The Lions might be one. The Bengals might be two. Cleveland number three.
All right. Well, Cleveland's turning it around. The Bengals are trying to turn it around too, so, you know.
And Jalen Hurts as well. He should have been on my list as well because, you know, they're not in love with him. They just speed dating with him. They really haven't put a ring on it. They haven't committed to him. And if they get rid of him, it's not going to cost them much.
Right. It's not going to cost them much. But I actually think Jalen Hurts probably could have a really good year. They're going to be healthier at their offensive line. They have way more weapons in their receiving corps and in the running back stable. Like, he's got options. And then they went out and they got Devontae Smith as guy.
Yeah, he's still, like, probably from a talent standpoint, you know, roster standpoint, they probably have the least talent out of anybody in that division, because let's not underestimate what the Giants have done. Let's not underestimate with Dan Quinn and with bringing in Keanu Neal and drafting Michael Parsons. We know what that offense looked like early last year. So, and we picking Washington to win the division, a playoff team.
You might be.
Well, arguably the best defensive line in the game, right? We only expect Chase Young and Sweat to be better, right? So even with Jalen Hurts, he can be that good. But you're saying, how far can we go with him? And we know that they have the ammunition because they were able to slide up and down the draft board. They acquired, you know, the ammunition to be able to go get a Deshaun Watson or go out and get one of these disgruntled stars, maybe Russell Wilson if Russ can't cook in Seattle this year. So it's not that he may not be good and prove that he's a good quarterback, but he may not be to their level. And if you have the ammunition to go get him, You go get a Deshaun Watson. You go get a Wilson.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. The speed dating thing is a good reference. For Jalen Hurts, this is a time for him to prove that he belongs, right? He belongs there. He belongs to be a starting quarterback in Philly. And Philly doesn't forgive anyone for anything. So if he can do it there, he could do it anywhere. However, in terms of the amount of talent that's in that division in the NFC East, please. Last year, we were all picking the Cowboys to win everything because of all the talent they had on their rosters. And then you got coaching issues. Your starting quarterback goes down. I mean, it was like...
Hold on. But you said here, you made all these excuses for why Cam wasn't able to be successful. And then you're not going to make the same excuses for Andy Dalton, you know, once Dak went down. This was a team that was putting up 500 yards of offense. So the easiest thing to fix in the league is defense, because defense is more about effort and scheme. We know that they're going to have the effort in the scheme because Dan Quinn holds you to a high level. We know that they have – listen, if I look at the Cowboys from a defensive standpoint, to me, the defensive coordinators that I've been with will be able to have this a top 10 defense. And if this is a top 10 defense, then they're going to go somewhere because that offense is electric.
Okay. Well, we'll see if you're right. I don't know. I just every time in this whole division.
That tree falls all the time. I say it all the time. That tree falls and people don't hear it.
And if I have to hear NFC least one more time.
No, it's going to be the NFC beast.
Beast. Okay. I'll ride with that. Who else is on the put up or shut up list? Feel free to give us a call. The phone number is 888-729-3776. That's 888-729-3776. Quarterback team, you tell us. Put up or shut up, according to Cam Newton in New England. Who else is on your list? Okay. If he can finish the job on Tuesday, what respect do we need to put on the Greek freak's name? That's the question. That's next.
Yogurt.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Shea Cornett, Bart Scott with you. We'll be right back.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.